Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you'll need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What's up, you guys? Sean Ross Sapp. It is October 26th, 2022. This is your AEW post show. Earlier today, I had the What Do You Guys Want to Talk About podcast, a completely super chat, humper chat driven show in place of the list in your boy. So make sure you check that out. And we've got a lot of Fightful Select stuff to tout today on the air. And we've got Alex Pawlowski. He hosts a show. Two, three shows on Fightful Select every single week. Alex, as you get a drink of water, how you doing? It looks like it's cold water.
It's good and cold, right straight out of the fridge. I can't find my water bottle, so I had to actually resort to drinking out of plastic. It's crazy.
No baba for Pawlowski.
That's right. I'm doing well. This episode of Dynamite. Had everything that I enjoy, including Jericho getting pinned, but also one particular thing that didn't quite sit right with me. So we'll talk about that. But what else is new? You know, what else is new with me? Nothing's perfect. Nothing's perfect.
Guys, leave a thumbs up on this video. I can't tell you how important that is. Every week we have like 15,000 of you that watch live, but there are ways that you can help. Even if you don't donate super chats, humper chats, or subscribe to FightfulSelect.com. A couple of those include leaving us a thumbs up, and you can go to audio platforms like iTunes, Spotify, and leave us positive reviews. That stuff helps more people find us, and it's a good way to grow our brand. That way we can give you more here at Fightful, but we're here every night. Raw, SmackDown, Rampage, NXT, Impact, AEW, and here we go. Get in those super chats. Get in those humper chats. If you don't know what a humper chat is, it's humperchats.com. It's the question statements. That's how they get them read on the air. You leave them over there. It's a good time. It's how you get your topics covered right here on the show. But we've already got a few of those. We've already got some of them filtering in thanks to our good moderator, Luis. And says, JW says, what happened to the AEW OZ Academy relationship? Any chance of AEW working with Aja Kong again? Man, I completely forgot about that. I don't even remember that, but if it was before the pandemic, I feel like I haven't heard about that in a long time. I haven't heard a peep about that. I had people ask me what was up with the OWE relationship, and it's just like, they gone. They're not there anymore, unfortunately. But who is there? BCC and Yas. And Nerd Guru says, I'm beyond tired. Ended already. Well, I also feel that way, but it ain't ending.
No.
Because Jericho is not eating a pin from Claudio to not have a match in the future, Alex.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A good match. Brandon says Claudio was the man tonight, winning matches, demanding peace within the BCC. Good stuff. Yes, but can he pick a lock? The answer is no. He cannot pick a padlock. He cannot break a chain. But this match was pretty good. I enjoyed it. I'm sure you enjoyed seeing Jericho get pinned, but I mean, you know, it's to develop into right. a program, obviously, as it should be with the ROH championship.
This is the thing that I thought going in was that Yas was going to win because I think they're moving on everybody to different things.
Sure.
And apparently they're not. So I'm happy Jericho got pinned, but BCC and Yas feels like they've been feuding since each thing formed. You know what I mean? So I do appreciate that it seems to me, at least for the time being, that we are going to get BCC involved in retribution on a different faction in the near future. But I do think there's certainly going to be another Claudio versus Jericho match down the line, because you don't have your ROH champion take a pinfall. Because there's another guy in the match. Garcia could have taken the pinfall. They specifically said, we want Claudio to pin Jericho. And that is that there's a reason for that. So we'll see how far down the line. Do we have to wait until, what's the thing they're doing in December? Death Before Dishonor?
Winter's coming?
No, the ROH pay-per-view that's coming up.
Final Battle.
Final Battle. So we have to wait until that to get our Claudio versus Jericho, you know, Ring of Honor championship match, or will it be sooner than that? Maybe Full Gear, whatever. But it does seem like this isn't ending, but it does seem like, to me at least, there may be like a little sidetrack for BCC to bust some firm heads for a little bit.
Well, Yuta is sick of Bryan Danielson's bullshit. He's yelling at him. He's like, look what we just did. Look what we just did. And he's trying to motivate Bryan Danielson. Next week, there's Wheeler and Claudio against 2.0 on Rampage. That'll be a fun match, too. I like that. But that's hardly it. Jericho, for next week, challenges any former ROH world champion. Now, I see plenty of speculation on this. Let's walk down the list. Low-key, possible. It's possible. And honestly, I think it'd be a kick-ass match. Loki isn't the kind of guy you want to bring in for more than one match, no. But yeah.
Only Xavier, if he wrestles in the Hitman suit. That's what I want.
Unfortunately, Xavier passed a couple years ago, just after he was set to make a comeback too.
Yeah.
He was supposed to come back at that ROH retro show. So not him. Samoa Joe, he's already involved in stuff. Austin Aries, I'd be surprised if they would. I mean, I think the match would be good. I can disagree with Austin Aries, literally everything all I want, but I think the match would probably be good, but I don't think it's going to be him. CM Punk, I got a sneaking suspicion it will not be him.
Probably not, no.
Jamie Noble is under WWE employee, so that ain't happening. They're building towards Bryan Danielson. It could be Homicide. Very well could be Homicide. Mm-hmm. Takashi Morishima, well, that would be a shocker considering that he retired 7 years ago. Yeah. Nigel McGuinness, I feel like they would save that for a bigger one. Like if he wrestled again, they'd probably put that on AEW pay-per-view or something like that. Yeah. Jerry Lynn, I would be shocked if it were him. I think that the way that they got around that was the pile driver last week. Seth Rollins, Roderick Strong, Eddie Edwards, Kevin Owens, Adam, or like all these people, they're under other employee. It's not going to be Jay Lethal, not going to be Jay Briscoe, unless they've softened their stance on that. There are some options. I wouldn't mind seeing like PCO or somebody, but I think that'd be a Canadian name. There's plenty of options out there, Alex. Are there any that jump off the table to you?
Joel Pearl is out there saying it's going to be Christopher Daniels.
I love Christopher Daniels.
Yeah.
That's one that I was getting right to there on the list, because it ain't going to be Michael Elgin, that much I assure you.
No.
Could be Davey Richards. I mean, that would be a killer match too.
Yeah.
But Christopher Daniels, and that was when I interviewed Christopher Daniels, was a match that he wanted very bad. Mm-hmm. Very bad. But they did say any champ in the promo, even the women's champ. I thought he said he wanted to become all of the champions.
Yeah, I think that's what he said.
I think that's what he said.
I love that there's all these possibilities that we're throwing out there. Samoa Joe, is that a possibility? I mean, I don't know if they actually would do it, but because, you know, title versus title, whatever. People were saying Adam Cole, like if he was healthy.
Sure, but that'd be like a pay-per-view thing, too. That'd right. be like make an open challenge and then do it on pay-per-view.
You wouldn't bring him back in this spot, and you probably wouldn't do it if he was going to lose the match. Like, you know, there's some stuff there.
Already did Bandido. Matt Taven's got other stuff going on as well. You did Dalton Castle already. Maybe Cody heals up early and does it. How about that one? How about that one, guys? So there are some options there. Big C, that's me, says, if you don't love me now, you'll never love me again, man in the mask. I can still hear you saying that you would never break the chain, man in the mask. That is exclusively for Alex.
Yes,
of course. I understand.
Yeah.
Andrew A says, any update on AEW going to the Cow Palace? Around the time that I had reported they were heading to San Francisco for that pay-per-view, I was told that the Cow Palace might be like TV and then somewhere else, wherever the Warriors play for the pay-per-view.
Ooh, nice.
Got the daddy ass birthday bash next week. And Justin Robbins says, dawned on me tonight that Danhausen indirectly created the daddy ass gimmick since he's the one that started the ass boys things during a comedy skit on his YouTube. We all owe him a very nice and evil debt of gratitude. Scissor me, Danhausen. Well, Peter Avalon actually invented the term, but Danhausen popularized it. As for Daddy Ass's birthday bash next week, I want to see that. Like, I want to see a This Is Your Life Billy Gunn. I want Bart there. I want Chuck Palumbo there. And I want Chuck to be like, I've always wanted to do this with you, Billy. And then they scissor.
Perfect.
That's what I want. What people have waited to see. We got Saraya interview interrupted by Britt Baker. We're going to get a sit down with Renee next week. Too many of the women's segments are just this, but I will say at least with Renee there, it does feel more cohesive.
Yeah.
Renee carries a little something else with her. And I'm not saying that Tony Schiavone doesn't, or that Alex Marvez doesn't, because I actually think that Alex Marvez, for when we first saw him on commentary, we're like, how are they going to find a spot for him after he signed this deal? I think he's been a completely serviceable backstage guy. But Renee is the right person for this. What did you think of this interruption?
I did appreciate that the former Paige and Renee Young being like, hey, we're back together again. It's so good to see you. I like that a lot. You need Marvez around so you have a guy whose job it is to have an interview with a door that's been chained shut. You need to be like, hey, guys, we're here. There's a thing. I can't do anything about it. Back to you. Renee's not doing that. Renee's not doing that gig. You got to have a guy backstage whose job it is to just do those moments. So I think Marvez fits that role.
Renee's finally traveling. She's not at home in Toronto or Cincinnati anymore, Alex. And
yeah,
you know, if you're traveling, you might miss all your favorite shows, but not with NordVPN.com/Fightful. Happy to be working with these guys through 2023. And why is that? Well, you could have watched AEW Dynamite tonight without commercials on AEW Plus. You could have ordered that UFC pay-per-view just like I did this past Saturday with an overseas service and saved a bunch of money. Not only that, you hear about how WWE Network's hopping on Disney Plus in the Philippines? Well, you could get access to that too with NordVPN.com/Fightful. 4 additional months free, a 30-day money-back guarantee if for some reason that you hate saving money and getting access to more content. 3 tiers with a pass, a locker, a VPN allows you to choose what you want, but it also blocks malware, annoying pop-up ads, and online trackers, and it works on all your devices. NordVPN.com/Fightful changes your virtual location with just one click. I don't know, maybe to Indonesia, maybe to New Zealand. Let me tell you, there's going to be even more services that you're going to want to subscribe to very soon. I mean, this is paying for itself, guys. With all the savings that you got, I say it every time. It is paying for itself at NordVPN.com/Fightful. And fewer things make me happier than when people actually try out our sponsors. Hit me up and tell me about it. Tell me about it on Twitter. Let me hear about it. Tell me you're using NordVPN.com/Fightful because by God, I love it. I use it every single day. Luis, that Survivor Series one can go on the MJF segment. He's a youngin'. He doesn't understand the reference to put it there. But MA says, Marvez is like the weatherman from Family Guy.
It's going to rain.
So one of my favorite things, I like listening to Eric Bischoff's podcast. I don't like agree with him all the time. He doesn't agree with me all the time, but we have a nice professional respect for one another. But there was a hilarious time where he just buried Alex Marvez for like 10 minutes, called him a jock sniffer and all this shit, like just completely buried him. And then after the show, he realizes that he met Brian Alvarez. Hey guys, have you ever wondered what happened to the legendary Chuck Norris? I saw a video he made and I was shocked. He is in his 80s, still kicking butt, working out, staying active. He looks like he's got more energy, can work out longer, even has plenty of that energy left over for his grandkids, and he did this by making one change. He said that he still feels like he's in his 50s. His wife even started doing this thing too. She's never felt better. She says she feels 10 years younger, her body looks leaner, has energy all day. And Chuck's made a 20-minute video explaining step-by-step how anyone can do this same thing to see incredible changes in their health. Staying active is important. Moving around keeps you feeling good. Making sure that you take care of your gut health, your digestion, just overall, is also very important. Right now, you can go to mymorningkick.com/Fightful. Watch Chuck's video right now. That's mymorningkick.com/Fightful. Check out what Chuck Norris has to say. What's got him feeling so good these days? He explains everything and you won't believe how simple it is.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
It was classic. It was amazing. Oh, God. Oh, it's the kind of thing, like, you never go and edit that. It's too fun to not edit out. Oh, damn. Whew. Well, this is going to be one we talk about quite a bit throughout the show.
Yep.
The Elite. So, if you subscribe to FightfulSelect.com, there's going to be a couple of those plugs tonight. Mm-hmm. Not only did you hear news about Carl Anderson, New Japan, WWE, you also heard that the Elite are set to come back to AEW in some capacity imminently. Mm-hmm. Throughout the night, we reported, oh, hey, by the way, they're backstage. Now, they didn't appear on the show. I want to make it clear, we never, never reported they were going to be on there tonight. Mm-hmm. But it was like almost like a Thanos type of thing. Like it showed clips, not even clips, sort of clips of them disappearing as proclamations that they had made about AEW sort of faded away. Man, I'm very intrigued by this, Alex, because it's, you know, likely to play off of, well, maybe they're gone, because I can tell you there were some very heated words that night. And I can tell you, if you subscribe to FightfulSelect.com, you are not done hearing about Brawl Out.
No.
Because tonight, Nick Housman reported just before Dynamite that CM Punk claims that he has not been in contact with AEW. Now, off the air, Alex and I were like, well, we would say his attorney probably is.
Right.
Because I would find it very unlikely, personally, that they haven't talked to him at all. They got rid of Ace Steel. A lot of the original reporting that we had actually done was backed up by CM Punk's camp because, you know, we had a lot of people that were clowning us for reporting that his end of things said that the Bucks kicked the door down.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not only is Punk's camp claiming that again, Alex, after it was kind of eased off on after people right. dramatized it, but that it might have knocked a couple of Larry the Dog's teeth loose and he had to get them pulled. Now, I had never heard that. I never heard anything like that. In fact, I heard that Ace Steel's wife maybe tried to get the dog out of there. The common thing I heard was that Kenny was trying to get the damn dog out of there because it was barking and going crazy because Ace Steel was throwing chairs everywhere. And let me tell you, there's even more to that coming to FightfulSelect.com. But last Tuesday, we got the most movement on this since the talent meeting. And the talent meeting, for those of you who don't know, as reported by FightfulSelect.com, 3 days after Brawl Out, as we call it now, John Moxley, Brian Danielson, Chris Jericho held a talent meeting. It was very much of, we know stuff's going to get out, but keep your dirty laundry in-house. Since then, a lot of people, not only, I don't even know if it was because of the meeting, but they were just kind of so over that situation. They were so sick of talking about it and speculating about it that we hadn't heard a lot. Last Tuesday was the most movement that we heard. We started to hear a mention of the Elite here and there. They were in commercials. Ace Steel got shit canned. And then all this stuff today, Alex, I have not talked to you in like 3 weeks.
I know.
So
it's true.
this is a lot of movement right here.
It is. It is. As someone else has said, I agree. What with all the stories getting out immediately following the brawl, if part of your side's story is they kicked in the door and broke my dog's face, that is something you would lead with, because it certainly would be a reason why things might have become immediately heated.
Reason I would whip an ass for sure.
Right. That's the whole thing to me, is that if that was the case, I don't have any idea how it could have waited this long to come out, since the person who would have that information only stands to benefit from it in the public eye, in the court of public opinion. So why would you keep that close to the vest until now? That's why it kind of feels weird to me.
I do want to make it clear though, guys, like, I've had so many weirdos that are like, I had one guy say, well, you've been carrying water for the Elite. And I was like, we haven't reported anything, but they haven't heard anything. And, you know, people were like, oh, well, they leaked it to you. No, they didn't. They didn't. I have never spoken to Kenny Omega or the Young Bucks outside of interviews, ever. Right. Like, well, they leaked it to somebody to leak to you. No, it didn't happen like that.
No,
it didn't happen like that. And one day, like I did with the 1 year retrospective CM Punk story, I think we'll probably do a 1 year retrospect of the Brawl Out situation, because it was batshit crazy, man. It was just so wild. As for Omega and the Bucks, what do you think we got going on here?
They're not producing a little vignette where they all got Thanos snapped a bunch of times, if they're never going to show up in the company again.
Yes.
Because that's not what you would do. So it does feel like the way that they're presenting it is that we did all this. The voiceover says, we made this happen. This was our, we are the Elite. This is all Elite Wrestling. We made this happen. And it looks like you're trying to get rid of us, like Thanos snapping us out of existence. And we're not going to stand for it, which means when they come back, they'll have a chip on their shoulder and be pissed at management and anybody else, probably the Death Triangle, because they got their titles, all this kind of stuff. But it does seem like they're building it so they can be, in their minds, righteously angry at everybody.
Eloquent asked if I think they still keep Punk on the game cover. I mean, here's the reality of the situation. If they want to sell more copies, they come to a deal to do that. Because that's the reality of the situation.
Right.
In addition to losing what might be a locker room problem, they're losing a gigantic draw for the company. And that is an objective fact that he is a major draw for the company. Guys, get in your super chats, get in your Humper chats. We will continue to talk about this throughout the night. Morg says, Alex, this is for you, buddy. Always love that you react during the ad reads. I can always count on him.
Always.
I can always count on him. Tom says the E and AEW disappeared first in the end.
True.
Yes,
it did.
Yes, it did. Somewhat elite wrestling. You still got Hangman there.
Partially elite wrestling.
Pew. Yeah. Yeah. Also, I wasn't here to talk about that Hangman thing, but like I brought up, I think I talked about it. I showed up a little bit last week and talked about it, but they got an awful lot of praise for how they handled.
They sure did
handled that. Let me tell you, if AEW was run by somebody who owns the Miami Dolphins, Hangman Page is getting propped right back up. He's wrestling tonight. Black Macro Kid says, so happy I got my full gear tickets flying in Friday from North Carolina.
Nice.
I'm going there next month. Swing by WrestleCade. I'll be doing some promo for WrestleCade pretty soon. Very exciting. Cool. I mean, their guest list is always insane. That is one of those things, like if you like wrestler meet and greets, at least once in your life, you have to go to WrestleCade. You have to.
Right.
MJF promo. So I do love, especially this, the awkward dynamic that it creates because Renee Paquette is out there.
Right.
Somebody says, where's WrestleCade? Is it in Winston-Salem, North Carolina? It's very good. Stay at 420 High Street. It's an absolute shithole, but it's a funny place for a hotel to be, and it's a rite of passage. But anyway. I'll also be at Black Label Pro this weekend, and I can't make it to Fright Night, Billy Starks' show, but you guys should check that out as well. I'm very, very supportive of anybody in the Kentucky area who's trying to do more stuff, and it's a lot easier to run where they're running than the middle of Kentucky, but Billy Starks, a kid helping run wrestling shows and doing it very, very well. Got a lot of love for that kid and helping out the Kentucky scene. Plus, I mean, just look how badass her poster is for the show. Look at this damn thing. Look at this. Ooh. Fright Night 4. Check it out. October 29th. I want to show Starks and Robert some love for that as well. Zach says, I forgot you were coming to Starrcade SRS. Well, WrestleCade. Says, I might have to do a meetup with you at the event. With the other Fightful Faithfuls. I would love to see you there. Love to see you there. But the MJF promo, you get this awkward dynamic of Jon Moxley's wife interviewing, and MJF never outright mentions it. He's saving that low-hanging fruit for in the future.
Sure.
But he then mimics Jon Moxley, and he B-Rabbit Papa docks him. He's like, here's everything you're going to say about me. You're going to drink my blood and gargle my piss. What else you got?
Right.
I went to Cranbrook. That's a private school. Whoop-de-doo. So with this, it's more about Stokely interrupting him and setting the table for later, which we will get to. But I tweeted something that got... that got attention for the terminology, honey-dicked. It's from the movie The Interview. Also, Brendan Schaub says it a lot, and I don't watch his shows, but I certainly watch the videos that Borachinia Department posts of him talking utter nonsense. But it's sort of like baiting you, making you think. And it's something you want, but it ain't going to happen. Do you think we're getting honey-dicked?
Well,
as of this segment...
As of this segment, I would have virtually guaranteed it.
Sure.
Now, kudos to them for knowing that a lot of us were going to be thinking that. Because I think that the final segment was to throw us way off the scent, but we'll talk more about that. I did love the moment in there where she, because I love Renee because she won't stand for any bullshit as an interviewer. When she was talking with Nyla a couple weeks ago or last week, she was like, "Well, clearly you're not actually the TBS championship. You stole the belt," and like that kind of a thing. We don't get that. And a lot of interviewers, they don't actually call everybody out on their ridiculousness. And tonight she says, MJF, you can't just say all due respect and then insult somebody. Sure, I can. Shut the hell up, all due respect. Like, I like that he's playing it still with heelish tendencies, but you're definitely showing that, like the idea of when I win this title, it's going to be to stick it to all those scumbags who told me I'd never amount to anything. That's the most babyface thing any wrestler can ever say.
Like, also working in the, by the way, I love you guys,
right?
Despite your shortcomings.
Yeah. He's walking that line. Cause he's gotta be himself.
He does.
But in this particular situation, his motivations for becoming champ are instantly relatable by 90% of wrestling fans. You know, who like it's a really, really great tightrope walk that he's doing, which is only helped by this whole thing with Stokely.
I like the Talladega Nights line, the with all due respect line that worked out pretty well. Removed far enough from that movie to where you can do it, because I mean, like, MJF was like 10 when that movie came out. But I dug this. Joey Bag of Donuts says, MJF is so over. When does the face turn happen? The end of this show?
Maybe.
Because Ethan Page turned his heel into MJF's face and then turned him face.
Yep.
But goddamn, Swerve in Our Glory, FTR. Initially, when the Acclaimed and the Ass Boys are out there, I think too much, overbooked. However, this set up the third match, which, you know, ideally FTR, I just would have went with them. But you know the Young Bucks are back because FTR is losing. So that's how I confirmed.
Somebody's making that call, that's for sure.
Nobody told me the Bucks were backstage. I just saw Dax get pinned and I said, okay, the Bucks are back.
Yeah.
And published it. But in all seriousness, the Ass Boys, I don't know if them dressing up and doing the goofy thing is working for me, but them holding back cash to prevent the breakup,
that
worked for me.
That worked. That's fine. What I don't like is what it signifies. In that, like, listen, I think that the Gun Club is a perfectly fine mid-card tag team. They're fine. They don't make mistakes. They have personality. They're fine. I would never put them on the level of a team should have that, at least not in their current incarnation. I wouldn't put them on the level that a team that should be challenging FTR for any kind of tag team titles. So to me, like, FTR should have all of the belts all over the world. At least should be challenging for them, especially if it's in a company they're currently employed by. They've been the number one contenders up until this point right now, when they're currently not, for months and months and months and haven't gotten a title shot. So to basically write in, because you're choosing to do this with your own creative, write in that for now, FTR can't challenge for the AW titles because they got to deal with the Gun Club. The Ass Boys is a creative decision I wouldn't make. Did they handle the execution of making, I would say, a poor creative decision? Yes, they handled it well. That's the best way to do it. Of having them hold Cash Wheeler back, I think that's great. I would just a quick tip though to Colton Gunn. Your current hair that you actually have without a wig is already longer than Dax's. You don't need to put on a longer blonde wig. That doesn't really make a lot of sense. Although kudos to Austin Gunn for the Dax cosplay, because that's spot on. As soon as I saw them at ringside, I knew that they were going to get involved, because why do you have them there if not? We already know that they've targeted FTR, which kind of made me like sigh going into the match, because all I wanted was just these four guys in only their wits and their skill deciding who the best team is. Now, we'll talk about this. The match is amazing, but Swerve on his own did the low blow which I think was the deciding factor in the match. Regardless of whether or not the Ass Boys were holding back cash, that was kind of ancillary to the point of Swerve cheated. Keith didn't see it. Now they're the tag number one contenders again. That's the most important part of this match.
Yeah, right in the penis. By the way, the big rig on Keith Lee, hell.
I love the tossing power bomb to Swerve.
Hell, man. They were going at it, bro.
I love that they told that story of trying to do the big rig to Keith Lee like four times. And finally, the time they did it, that was great. I mean, like, I really did. I loved it.
You wonder how it's going to work out. Like, will it just flatten somebody? Right. Like, how will it go? This match was so good. You know, I think the fact that I saw screwy finishes so much for so long, I hated all of them, but I can appreciate a good one like this. And I thought this one made sense because FTR had to lose at some point, man. They gotta lose at some point if they're not gonna have all those titles. And C says FTR losing puts a smile on my face. More super chats puts a smile on my face. Let's talk some more, guys. Yeah. N. Simmons says FTR needs the title sooner than later because eventually they'll lose another one of those other four titles, and then it might be too late. AAA announced on Tuesday FTR LFI for the titles at the end of the year. And they are heading over to Japan for a big show as well.
Mm-hmm.
But also announced is the Kingdom versus, or Taven versus Wardlow for the TNT title. We got OGK and Wardjoe. So FightfulSelect.com, the best $5 in the business, reported today that the Kingdom, all three of them, Maria, Mike, and Taven, have signed full time with AEW. They were not signed when they first debuted. And we had heard about interest in Taven. There was interest. I don't know about interest. There were talks. I don't know how much interest there was, but there were talks with the Kingdom and WWE as well. But they are in AEW. I had heard that FTR were, like, I don't know if they were pushing, but in favor of it at some point is what somebody told me. That is a really good tag team. And it's one of those where they all have something individually, but when those three come together, they create something that is very, very, very good and cannot be replicated. And if any of you have just watched Mike Kanellis in WWE, and if any of you have just watched Matt Taven as a singles in ROH, please watch them as a unit because they're very good. What do you think of the signing and the match getting set up?
I mean, like, listen, we saw them. They took aim at Wardjoe when they first showed up. Makes sense. I'm just happy we're getting a Wardlow singles match defending that title. That's it feels like a long time to me since we saw it. Was it September? Like early September, maybe? I don't honestly, it feels like a long time since Wardlow has defended the TNT title. So I'm happy about that.
That's
going to be should be a good match. It's a great thing to hang your hat when you start doing. We're doing live rampages. Well, you got to do stuff like
he defended against Brian Cage. A few weeks ago.
You're right.
And then he defended last month against Tony Nese. The month before against Ryan Nemeth. One a month. Nah, he's about two a month in August and July.
All right. Yeah. I felt like I've seen a lot more the big shows where like, okay, we got a singles champion here. We're doing a big show, Grand Slam, the pay-per-view. Let's slot this guy in a tag match as opposed to giving him a real feud, which seems like it's the beginning of a real feud as opposed to I'm just going to beat this guy, which does not feel
like the TNT title that went back and forth between Cody, Darby, Brody. It feels like more for decoration now, and that ain't Wardlow's fault.
No, it's not.
Sawyer says Maria is going to be great for that women's division. She is signed only as a talent right now.
But
C says also Swerve hitting the gritty. Absolutely.
That was great.
Chi-Town Spurs says no way Swerve is losing on Will Washington's birthday. Big happy birthday to Will Washington. And listen, if you guys want to wish him a happy birthday, swing by his show on Thursday, day after Dynamite.
Yes.
If you want more talk, I mean, the plot of Day After Dynamite is news always breaks Wednesday or Thursday. So check him out. Hey, What's That over there says, I would love to have Keith Lee turn heel with Swerve. What's the over under on FTR doing tag league and being at Wrestle Kingdom this year? Maybe Wrestle Kingdom. I'd be shocked if they did tag league.
Yeah.
I don't know if they'd want to be around away from, you know, Dax being away from his family that long is awful lot. Tom LaValle says, Swerve has been the best wrestler signing this year in AEW. His heel run should hopefully be epic. Give him a belt. I don't care which one. He's got something special. And I remember watching him in MLW, and I'm like I could see that, like, something was about to break out big. And everybody could, too. Mm-hmm. But, like, it was very evident. Like, something's about to break out big. And then once he got to WWE, it's like, oh, it's that change in presentation. It goes so far. And you know what? You know what, Alex?
What's that?
I would like to change the way you present yourself some sleep.
Oh.
HelixSleep.com/Fightful. I love Helix Sleep. It has revolutionized the way that I sleep. It's a premium mattress brand that provides tailored mattresses based on your unique sleep preferences. Their lineup includes 14 unique mattresses, including a collection. My God, I am just stumbling tonight. It's probably because I'm tired and I'm about to go sleep a good full 8 hours on this Helix, because I'm not tossing and turning. You want to know why? I took that Helix sleep quiz and was matched with that Dusk Lux model because I wanted something that was medium. I slept only on my back. I moved around all night. Now I'm able to sleep on my side and my back. I get a fuller night's sleep. I'm waking up more rest. It's a good time. Your personalized mattresses ship straight to your door free of charge after you take that Helix sleep quiz. No shipping there. They offer a 100-night risk-free trial. And if you don't like it, they'll come back and get it even. They'll give you a full refund. HelixSleep.com/Fightful. They come with a 10 to 15 year warranty depending on the model. Not only that, they have flexible payment plans and financing. You can get great deals at HelixSleep.com/Fightful. Up to $200 off all mattress orders and two free pillows for our listeners. HelixSleep.com/Fightful. If you're military, first responder, teacher, students, you get a special discount on the site as well. Unlike a lot of mattress companies out there, they own their own manufacturing facility. So each and every Helix mattress is made in the USA by a team of skilled manufacturers and shipped directly from their facility to your door. You don't want to be rolling around on a mattress that somebody else has been at a mattress store. Take the Helix sleep quiz. HelixSleep.com/Fightful. Hey, What's That over there? Says, give me heel Swerve versus Darby or Brian in Seattle. Ooh, that'd be good. That'd be really good. Tom LaValle says, thought we were getting a mop reference there. Not going to lie. I don't understand the bit, guys. Orange Cassidy is facing Luchasaurus and Phoenix because they are arguing over who should get what. And Orange Cassidy goes, you want a shot at this All-Atlantic title? Cool. Our friend King of the North pointed out, Orange Cassidy is only doing this so he can wrestle less during the match.
I know.
He's like going to take a nap during this match. It's going to happen.
Yep. It's great.
I like this match. It's going to be a killer match.
I love that Orange Cassidy books himself in three ways where he is more likely to win to lose matches. I think that's great as well. Because, like, oh, all right. Sure. Okay. Okay. You guys talking about, I love, hey, you guys talking about me?
Yeah.
I guess they totally weren't. But yeah, if your question is, do I want to see a triple threat match between Orange Cassidy, Rey Fénix, and a giant dinosaur who throws people a great distance? The answer to that question is yes. 100 times out of 100. Yes, I want to see that match. I think that's great. I think it'll be a lot of fun. Here's the thing. Do I wish they were actually taking all of these factions that they have and doing a trios title feud look, somebody that the Death Triangle is involved with and trying to get those titles from them. I know they're just holding on until the Elite come back, probably. Yes, I wish there was a feud. Every time somebody's got a titles, I wish there was a feud for those titles. However, in addition to that, I love that all three guys are free to do their own thing while carrying one third of those belts to the ring. So that Rey Fénix wants to become the All-Atlantic champion like Pac was, great. Penta has got a AEW world title match. Like, I love that those guys, because they're good enough on their own, can go out and do their own stuff. But I would like more. Once these people have titles, I always want there to be a feud for those titles.
King of the North says Luchasaurus with no flag on the graphic rules. Yes, it does.
Are they need to bake a flag for like the Lost World or wherever he's from?
Yes.
Gondwana land.
We got Brian defeating Sammy Guevara. We're going to have Ty Mello against Madison Rayne on Rampage. So Brian Danielson's still very much bubbling under. He's out of the title picture. Mm-hmm. He's not there. Jericho keeps beating him, sort of like a man just on an island of himself there. Sammy, like I feel like he's stagnated. The promo, it just wasn't what I'm used to out of him. And with this match, I knew Brian was going to win. I'm kind of over the BCC Yas thing at this mm-hmm. point, to where yes. I'm like, all right, this again, even though they haven't had a bunch of matches, Sammy did have one, mm-hmm. or Sammy did pick up a win recently, but I don't know. I had trouble getting into this despite the fact that I love both of these performers. It's just, I think I've got a little bit of burnout of BCC and Yas, but how did mm-hmm. you feel?
I mean, I experienced the same burnout that you do, probably for slightly different reasons, but I feel like the feud is. When was Blood and Guts? Like, was it May? When, like, it feels like it was forever ago, and that was like a thing that like they had been feuding for a little bit, and they had to have Blood and Guts to finally end the feud, and it's been going on for another however many months. It does feel like it has been going on for a while, and as you said, BCC, who had been losing matches to Yas, picked up two big wins tonight, which means the feud is continuing. And I just don't know for how long, unless they're going to do like, okay, guys, here we go. Big giant feud ender matches at Full Gear, which it does not look like is the plan. Maybe this thing goes all the way to Revolution. And I'm like, I don't necessarily
need a year long feud.
No, man.
And I mean, it's sort of evolved from the Santana, Eddie Kingston, Ortiz feud, which I think that's why it feels even longer, right? Because we had that amalgamation of Blackpool Combat Club, Eddie right. Kingston, Ortiz, and Santana. So you got one and it transitioned, bam, right into right. the next. And I think that's why it feels even longer.
Yeah.
But Brian wins. They're fantastic. I love a good triangle and elbows.
And I loved the finish too. Like after going in from the stomps directly into the submission with a few more elbows to the top of the head, and Sammy's just like, I am not conscious anymore. I thought that was great. That was really good.
Eddie Kingston had a very unusual interview with Renee where he's pretending to not be mad at everything and talks a little bit about Fénix and Jon Moxley, but that doesn't matter. It's Brandon Charles Powell says, Eddie Kingston, everyone leave me alone. That's a relatable feeling.
Yes, it is. It did feel very odd to me at the time, and only feels weirder now in retrospect. The angle they ran with him not giving up the submission on Sammy Guevara, and then having the decision reversed, so he actually technically lost the match. And then they were like, now you're in big trouble for doing that, Eddie Kingston. And I was like, okay, so this is a new thing where like Eddie and the refs are feuding? No, they're never going to mention it again, actually. It's just a weird choice at the time. And since then, it just feels like they never didn't do anything with it. And I don't see nearly enough Eddie Kingston on my television screen just backfisting dudes into oblivion. I need to see that more often
sure.
than I have.
Yeah, I want to see more of that myself. Hey, what's that over there? It says over under on Jericho versus Austin Aries or Joe. I think Joe's got something else going on right now. Mm-hmm. I'd be shocked if it were Austin Aries based on things that I'd heard about AEW and him in the past, but I just don't think it'd be him, but it's not impossible. Darby and Lethal promos. We're getting that again. Darby says that Sting hasn't been around because Darby wants to prove himself that he can stand alone. And I was like, buddy, you were TNT champion. Like what's the beef?
Do you not remember when you were standing alone before Sting showed up? Cause you were doing that all right. You know?
Yeah. And Nicholas says the only thing that stuck out to me in the Lethal promo is that Sanjay said, don't piss me off. Jeff Jarrett to AEW confirmed. Listen, man, there was a period like heels didn't have the coolest merch back in the 90s. Mm-hmm. Man, he went from don't piss me off to slap nuts.
Yep.
And both of those were banger shirts. I know they sound stupid as hell right now.
Yep.
But back then, those were banger shirts, Alex.
Slap nuts especially. That one I remember very, very well.
That's a hell, man. That was a good catchphrase.
Yep.
Good catchphrase. Jamie Hayter defeated Riho with a little bit of an assist from Dr. Britt Baker, DMD. Not like a gigantic one, but enough of one. And as I saw the physical difference in these two, mm-hmm. I am very much I don't care, whoever they script to win wins.
Right.
But considering that physical mm-hmm. imposition and how over Jamie Hayter is, I was like, she really needed to go over. So I was very pleasantly surprised. And man, I was in that arena last week. I was shocked that Riho and pleasantly shocked that she mm-hmm. got such a great ovation from a Cincinnati crowd as Triple H trembled in fear. But I was so happy about that. So happy that she was back. But I think at this point, like, again, you don't have to book this match, but if mm-hmm. you are, Jamie Hayter's got to go over. I think they did the right thing and they had a great match. Mm-hmm. There was a choke toss where Hayter goes to throw Riho in the air and Riho does a code red.
Yeah.
That was art. That was fantastic.
Beautiful moment.
Loved it, Alex.
I agree wholeheartedly about Jamie Hayter. She's ridiculously over. I like that she's acknowledging that everyone loves her because it's always been weird to me when heels are like, hey, everybody, all of you are stupid for liking me. No. Like most heels would enjoy adulation from the fans.
I feel reinforced. I do think it's funny when Bayley does it because Bayley is so over the top corny intentionally
right.
that it works so well.
Right. So I love Jamie Hayter going over here. I think that they have they are ready to catch lightning in a bottle with Jamie Hayter turning on Britt Baker or Britt Baker trying to turn on Jamie Hayter or Jamie Hayter getting the better of her. And that feud would be money, and Jamie Hayter going over and becoming a big baby face would be an incredible decision. And they have lightning in a bottle with that right now, but it's going to get out of that bottle if they wait too long. And it just feels like to me like they've already waited too long because I think everyone was waiting for it for a month ago. This match was great. Riho is not always my cup of tea, but you cannot discount her skill in the ring. She's incredibly skilled a performer. And I love Jamie Hayter going over. I love her using that big lariat, especially on somebody the size of Riho. Just like envelops her with that big lariat. Love that finish. And I'm very excited. If what we're getting out of this is Toni Storm versus Jamie Hayter one-on-one for that title, I'm very excited.
Meet Norma says, sup boys. Hey, Linder. Was heavily conflicted during this match. Makes sense for Jamie to get the W, but TK needs to hit the gas on the Brit split. Also, unify the TBS women's titles. Make women's tag belts. There's at least two ladies' matches on. Yes, I agree with that. I would do that. But when that happens, Jade wins that title.
Right. Like,
you have to establish that those matches you were watching all along, sort of like the interim title, Alex, mm-hmm. they meant just as much. Like, that's what you got to do. It's got to be Warrior Hogan at WrestleMania 6.
Right.
CO says, all due respect, I don't find Riho believable as a competitor. Nothing she does look like it hurts her opponent. Big Spike Dudley energy. Listen, all due respect, I don't think you watched Spike Dudley then. Because I watched Spike Dudley convincingly beat 600-pound men with like one move. He'd hit the acid drop and you believed that that happened. But then also he would try to do it to Mike Awesome. And Mike Awesome would say, no, that shit ain't going to fly with me, and heave him 10 feet. It's the benefit. You can catch them off guard because you're very sneaky, sir.
Yep.
Chi-Town Spur says, I know you don't rate Rio. You don't know ball. If you don't rate Rio, you don't ball. Simple. I think she's very good. Justice says, any word on AEW keeping or losing the rankings? Larry lost two teeth. I should have went to Japan. You can't mess with a man's dog. That remains to be seen. Keeping or losing the rankings? Well, they haven't updated them in 2 months. I think they're gone. And also, you got Penta just randomly getting a title shot. I don't get it. I don't like it.
I think it was
I like him wrestling, but it doesn't make any damn sense.
I think the thing that they did with that was that Penta just won that amazing match versus Viano, and they wanted to be like, okay, well, this guy's obviously on a hot streak or whatever, and Moxley wants to wrestle. So we got this guy because I think that it might be nice for them to acknowledge we don't have rankings anymore. We used to pretend we did. We didn't actually. Now we are acknowledging we don't have
them anymore. You know they won't say that. I know.
But they haven't used them in forever, haven't updated them in months. At this point, it's just like whoever's next in line.
Listen, Alex, if they said that, it'd be a miracle.
It would be.
What's that? Oh my God. Do you mean like the clean and cool miracle sheets? What do we got here? How can we put Alex? There we go. You all can see Alex like that. Like miracle sheets at trymiracle.com/fightful. You got a special deal for our listeners right now. Trymiracle.com/fightful. Use our promo code, save 40% and get 3 free towels. Traditional bed sheets can harbor more bacteria than a toilet seat. It can lead to acne, allergy, stuffy noses. It's just gross. Miracle brand offers a whole line of self-cleaning, eco-friendly bedding, such as sheets, pillowcases, and comforters that prevent 99% of bacteria and require 3 times less laundry. Self-cooling properties developed by NASA. They're thermoregulating and designed to keep you at the perfect temperature all night long. They're self-cleaning. They have great comfort and quality with those premium 500 thread count sateen weaves. It's not like sleeping on sandpaper like some of these other sheets. Trymiracle.com/Fightful. That's trymiracle.com/Fightful. Save 40%. Get 3 free towels. How about this? You know we love this. 30-day money-back guarantee. If you're not completely satisfied, you'll get a full refund. Trymiracle.com/Fightful. Got those bad boys. Oh, look, I wish you were Jeff Hawkins. I do miss Jeff. Jeff's a good guy.
He's a good guy.
DJ Page says, I love the rankings. I miss them. They need to have them back. I mean, to me, if you've got a justified title situation, I'm happy.
I actually really loved the idea of having rankings. Mm-hmm. The problem was they didn't actually adhere to them.
Sure.
And they would sometimes be like, hey, we're giving this person a title. Oh crap, the rankings say they're ranked third. Let's go in there and change them after the fact. No. If you're actually gonna adhere to the rankings, they're a great thing. Do that. But if you're just going to like bullshit them, then don't.
Hey, what's that over there? Says, well, if Jericho's going to have this open challenge, I only want to see him face Gresham, Daniels, or if the gods will allow Rollins or Rhodes. Well, the latter two ain't happening.
No, that's not happening.
They couldn't get Billy Gunn on Raw, so.
No.
We got Mox defeating Penta. Fun back and forth match. How'd you feel about this? I mean, Mox is stepping up. He is leading the ship right now. Absolutely. No Elite, no Punk, no Cole, no Undisputed Era. You got Thunder Rosa's out, right. Even. Britt's battling a nose injury again. This guy's stepping up. He's doing everything.
And the whole time, every time he does that, his interior monologue is, I wasn't even supposed to come into work today.
Yeah.
Because this man's supposed to be on vacation.
Man is full Dante from Clerks.
Absolutely. So I like this a lot. It is crazy to me because I think back to when I first became aware of the existence of a Pentagon. was in Lucha Underground, where he was literally taking people's arms. Like he would do that move that he did tonight to Moxley, and he'd write off somebody for 6 months.
You could have booked him against Lesnar at that point, and I would have bought it in Lucha Underground season one. That guy
was booked so strong and so interesting of a competitor. He was honestly at that time maybe my favorite wrestler in the world.
For those of you who have never watched season one of Lucha Underground, that's just one of my favorite seasons of TV. Yes. Yeah. It was just a phenomenal TV show. Right. I thought season two was pretty good, and then it kind of was falling off a bit. But season one of Lucha Underground is just amazing, an amazing watch. And really, it set up so much of what we see right now on AEW. I mean, and talent that probably should be getting used better, but There's an awful lot of good talent there that you guys should go back and check it out. But after this, the firm attacks Moxley. Now, MJF has said, no, you're not going to touch him.
And if you touch him, you're fired.
If you touch him, you're fired. So they do that. And then MJF fires the firm. But then Ethan Page beats that ass. And they really beat that ass.
Yeah.
So, as I said, if they're honey-dicking, they're going to extreme lengths.
Yeah.
Now, I remember in, 99 when they did the higher power thing, and they're like, it was me all along, and Shane was in on it. I was like, y'all fought each other, though.
Right.
So, I think AEW, and specifically probably Stokely, MJF, Ethan Page, are probably smart enough to be like, well, we have to retcon this somehow. We have to have created something, a plan to highlight this.
Right.
BLKFNX says, tonight's Dynamite leaves me thinking one thing, Survivor Series 98. Are you still thinking that, Alex? Are you still thinking, is this a honey dicking?
Right. I won't use that term. However,
I mean, if it is, they're sticking their dick straight in the jar.
No, it's the Winnie the Pooh.
No protection.
They're Winnie the Pooh in it, in that they're not wearing pants while wearing a shirt. And also, what do you do when you're not wearing pants? So there, you put your penis in honey. So apparently, so what I will say is this: I absolutely believe there's an opportunity for them to do a really great scene where they can show it to us earlier, where they can show us MJF talking to the firm and say, okay, but this has to look good. If you got to make sure this looks real, because if you guys pull punches, no one's going to buy it. I could see them doing showing us that scene later, like they did with the voicemail from Tony Khan, like retconning the whole thing with MJF when he showed back up. I could see them showing us that, because I still think somehow that MJF, it has told the firm to do this. It's all part of his plan to get us all to think he's a babyface now, to get us all to think that it's going to be a face versus face kind of a thing with Moxley. But during the match, when the firm comes out to try and screw with Moxley again, then he's going to be like, he's going to turn on them. He's going to turn around. And do you remember that? Honestly, the rest of the whole thing didn't work at all. But that moment where Mustafa Ali was fighting side by side with the Hurt Business, and Retribution came up, and he came out to confront them, and then turned around, and he was their leader.
Yeah.
That was an amazing moment. One of the best moments in that era of WWE. Everything else fell apart after that. But that was a really cool moment, because we didn't think it was going to happen. This, I think, could be that kind of a thing, but they're really, really laying it on thick because they think they have to.
Yeah, and they probably do, because I could see Regal getting involved too. He's saying, I'm not going to use the Dynamite Diamond Ring. No, he's going to use the Nux.
Right.
That's what I fully believe. We got lots of super chats. Please keep them coming and leave a thumbs up as well. Jamal says, I can't rule out a William Regal heel turn and helping MJF defeat Moxley. That's where I'm leaning on this.
Interesting.
And predictable isn't bad if it's good to me. Mm-hmm. It could be good.
Yeah.
Regal could be like, you know what? I was wrong. I
love the idea of William Regal finding his protege. Yes. The real pro, not Brian, not Moxley, but in order for it to be a real protege of William Regal, you have to be the dirtiest, most deceitful, devious little imp in the game. Like, yeah, that's perfect for that. I would like that a lot.
There's so many ways they could go. They could be like, do you know why I got fired from WWE? Because I kept telling them they made a mistake by not hiring you, et cetera, et cetera. There's a lot of ways they can go. Right. Brandon says, here's my question. Would MJF the devil allow his guys to beat the crap out of him to deceive the masses? Possibly. He's a piece of shit. So yeah. Brandon also says, I don't know. MJF is a heel or a babyface, but I'm going to enjoy the ride because the ride has been fantastic.
It really has been.
So far. That's the thing, Brandon. Like, it's the is it or isn't it? Mm-hmm. And I'm interested regardless. I'm looking at this going, would he go this far? Would it make sense if he goes this far? How could they make sense of it if it did go this far?
Right.
Joey Jojo Shabadoo says, getting major aces and eights beats down Bully Ray vibes from this firm MJF beat down to end Dynamite. Still think it's one big dastardly plot. Well, I don't know that I watched that much of Aces and Eights to do it. Once I realized it was Sons of Anarchy, I kind of leaned out of that.
Yeah.
But that was a good era of Impact at that point, too. Sawyer says, did plans for the firm change because of the Punk situation or in response to MJF's unexpected face turn? They were introduced and immediately there was friction with Stokely, or is the devil playing us? I think the devil's playing you. I mean,
I do.
Obviously, this summer, things changed.
Right.
Because they had Stokely managing the baddies and Jade, and they just never even mentioned that anymore.
Right.
And then they took all these people, they split Men of the Year, they split up the Gun Club. They did a lot of this stuff. They took Lee Moriarty away from where he was at. Like, there's an awful lot that was adjusted there. Chi-Town Spur says, really liked how much of a threat the firm looked like tonight. Yes. Morrissey is in the best shape of his career. Yes, he is.
Morrissey's a gigantic, and I love that they're giving Ethan Page, like, just tossing people like that toss. The Ego's Edge is he just gets so much air on guys. You got those two dueling big booters, like those guys. I love a good big boot. I think that the firm is a perfect perfect heel stable. Like, you've got the crazy guy, Lee Moriarty, whose entire job apparently to the beatdown is just to hype up everybody else. I love that. You got the tag team who's there to just cause chaos. And these two big dudes in a giant guy like Morrissey, and also Ethan Page, don't sleep on how big a dude that is. Like, it's really good. They can just toss him around. And I love that Stokely wearing his cardigan, sitting up on the top rope, you take out that security guard. You take out that guy. I thought it was great.
Guys, getting your super chats, your humper chats. We're heading down the home stretch. Sheamus says, great show as always. Wondering if there's any update on Miro. If MJF wins the title, Devil versus Redeemer program would be cool. Sheamus is fine. He's healthy. He should be on TV. I don't know why he's not. I mean,
I don't know why you would write him off.
CJ Perry, I didn't interview with her, but she did another one where she said, you know, Tony has his favorites the same way that Vince has his favorites. But right. He's paying an awful lot to Miro to not have him as one of his favorites.
Right.
That's for damn sure. Mafia Don says, hey, Sean and Alex, longtime watcher, wanted to ask if you all think MJF is a face after tonight and will face a challenge against him going against the firm like he's had others do to face him in the past. Now, that's interesting. Would they run the gauntlet like he's had others do? I hadn't even considered that, but
now would be really hard to pull off.
Exactly. If they pulled the old Swervsky, but he had individual matches with all these people. Damn. Cause I mean, then you get into the part of saying, well, maybe we faked it. And I mean, you could have like goofy little spots where a clothesline misses by a mile. But I mean, come on, like that's getting too cute for your own good point. You don't want to do that.
You got to play it straight. Although if you start like dropping hints, it won't work. You got to play it straight the whole time if you want this thing to actually work. But like, honestly, he's got a guaranteed title shot. He cashed in the chip. He's got his match at Full Gear. So it doesn't matter. So him being the babyface and saying to Stokely, I don't care which guy you throw at me. Give me somebody from your stupid little group. I want him next week on Dynamite. Like, you can cut a promo during that, during Rampage. And he has to wrestle Morrissey next week. And Morrissey just cleans his, like, MJF won't stay down. He keeps fighting from underneath like a true baby face. But Morrissey's too big for him, and he puts him to another table. Like, trying to make us really believe that he is the real good guy in this whole thing, only to then pull the rug out from under us, really feels like the most devious thing he could do.
MC Scammer says, just want to say thanks for the help with NordVPN.com/Fightful, Sean. Much love to you and Sour Alex. Guys, Fightful Select is the best bang for your buck in all of entertainment. I thank you very much for plugging all of our stuff for us. That's super dope of you. Scotty Bobak says, Ollie and Pete did a point-counterpoint video earlier on releasing Punk versus suspending. I was curious, do you think Tony's experience with the Urban Meyer fiasco could influence how he handles this? Yeah, probably an awful lot, honestly. But unfortunately for him, he's dealing with a guy right now who got injured before that even happened.
Right, right.
And I keep saying this, and don't know who's listening. For all we know, because I've been trying to find out, Punk could be an actual employee. Like, right. He might not be an independent contractor.
Right, 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 right.
Might have been like, I want employment status.
Right.
So that's something we got to find out.
Like, that's the other thing too, is it'd be one thing if you lifted his suspension and he could come back next week on Dynamite and start a program with somebody. That's a very different thing than he's injured anyway. And no matter what we do,
yeah,
suspend him, whatever, he can't be here doing earning money for us. So,
MC Scammer says, sent the wrong donation, meant 30, not 3. Well, thank you so much. Oh, wow. You are not a scammer to me.
Not at all.
I feel like I'm scared. I appreciate you. Thank you so much. Thank you legitimately. As opposed to all those I think illegitimately. Nerd Guru says, you think we can get a can they go coexist with Max and Mox?
Absolutely. I mean, honestly, I would book that. Yes. Next week, Max and Mox versus Ethan Page and Morrissey. It's perfect. Like, just
Maxley.
but Mox, not obviously, why would he trust Max? Yeah. But Max being like, no, seriously, I'm here. Let's kick these guys' ass. I want you at 100% I want to actually prove myself to you in a couple weeks full gear. Right now, let's kick their asses. And Mox being like, I don't buy this for a second. I think it'd be a lot of fun.
Hey, what's that over there? Says, if MJF does turn full babyface at full gear just to eventually sign a WWE contract that Regal hands to him on the back of the AEW title, I will laugh. So, I mean, I don't think they'd be able to say no. WWE.
No.
I mean, there was a lawsuit.
Yeah.
There's precedence there. Scott Hall, Kevin Nash, and a lot of that going on. But, I mean, while that was going on, WWE was like, fake Razor, fake Diesel.
Yeah,
you know, I think that Tony will know what lines, right, and what buttons, right, he can push. But yeah, Sawyer says, I need JR on commentary when MJF serves us and cheats with the firm to give us a classic son of a bitch. He wasn't even there tonight. He posted pictures from his couch, but I think you should have him for some big moments like that.
If you're gonna have the thing we think we're gonna get, which is MJF, you know, swerving us at the pay-per-view, he's got to be there like, oh, no, oh, damn it. Son of a bitch.
Yes. Great. Jonathan Paulus says, Sean putting in an extra ad read. Alex keeping up the awesome reactions, even in a smaller window. Well done, good sir. I mean, listen, y'all got to send more super chats and I won't have to do so many ad reads.
That's true.
What are we doing here? Going broke. With Jericho saying any former ROH champion and with Claudio having pinned Jericho tonight, could it be him? Possibly, but I mean, I read that as world champion, but
yeah,
maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah, maybe.
Alex, tell the people what you got going on.
You can find me on the Twitter at Alex Sour Graps, over on Fightful Select. I review Raw and SmackDown every week. Kate and I will usually review the pay-per-views over on there. So when Full Gear comes around in a couple of weeks, check that out. Also, the big annual thing now, whenever they do their Saudi Arabia shows, WWE, I won't watch them. I boycott the thing, but Kate watches them And then she reports back to me what happens. And she's going to tell me two truths and one lie in the course of an hour thing. And I have to guess which thing she is erroneously telling me. It's a lot of fun. We did it last time they had a Saudi show. It was one of our most popular episodes. So that on the 5th will be a lot of fun.
I love it. Oh, man. Guys, thank you all so much. I had an interview with CJ Perry that went up this week. Check it out. I got one with Clark Connors that's dropping this week. We have some more good ones in the can. How about this? More AEW full-time signing news Thursday, FightfulSelect.com. $5. It's just $5.
Just five. It's only five.
Until next time, guys, we're out.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early, so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.